Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks so much for being here.
Well, good morning, Leanne, and thanks very much for having us here. It's a good opportunity for Fiscal Court to let the folks know what we've been doing.
And the Fiscal Court has been very busy. The regular monthly meeting was earlier this week, and a big agenda, lots of things to talk about. But before we get into that, I wanted to touch base with you. I know you're not doing your daily COVID reports right now, but there is a lot going on with COVID. It is definitely not gone. New CDC guidelines have kind of come down, what's happening within our community?
Well, Leanne, within our community, you know, I don't post those numbers, but I can constantly watch those numbers myself. And I get a report weekly now from the health department. If we had something happen in between those 7 days, they would certainly contact me if we had some kind of a widespread. But they contact me every Friday afternoon, evening time frame, and they give me the numbers for the past 7 days. And last Friday, I was contacted. We had 7 cases in Round County, positive cases in Round County in 7 days. Now, back that up to a week before that, we had 4 cases in Round County. So you can see COVID has not went away. And it seems to be, as the CDC director and all these other folks says, it seems to be going to be turning into a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And we really need to concentrate on getting vaccines. If we keep thinking we're getting back to normal, but if we're going to regress in these numbers, it's hard to do that. And, you know, school year's coming up, and it's going to be difficult for the school board and our school superintendent to have to make these decisions based on numbers that could be preventable. And we know that in some cases, the folks with the vaccine does still get the COVID, but it's not as severe of case, or at least, you know, that is the assumption, is not as a severe case. So people need to, you know, for whatever reason, whatever motivates them, they need to get the vaccine. You know, whatever makes them just go get the vaccine. Let's get this behind us. Let's get ready to get our kids back in school and do the things this winter that we want to do. Because, you know, winter is just coming around the corner. And I told them that in fiscal court yesterday. We've ordered salt for the winter supply for the road. So it's not too far off, and we'll start gathering inside again, and we need to be vaccinated. And I ask people, just do what you think is right. Just what you really, truly you think is right. Take all the noise out. Take all the politics out of this. And do what you think is right. Do a gut check and do what you think is right. Yeah. And I think we'll move forward with it.
What is the current vaccination participation percentage as far as the population here goes? Or is that a number that you're aware of right now?
Yeah, we're right of just a teach over 40% vaccinated in Round County. And that's, you know.
That's better than the last time I checked. That's definitely an improvement.
It is, you know, we creep kind of like the census. You know, you sit in this job, you watch all of these little movements and little pieces every day, and we keep creeping forward. We'd want to do it in leaps and bounds, but we just don't seem to do that. But we're 40%. We're higher than a lot of counties. We are lower than a few. I'd say we're about middle of the pack. If you took the average of the 120 counties, we're probably about average. We can do better.
We can always do better. Now, taking a look at the fiscal court agenda from this month, this is the first month of the fiscal year. And so there's a lot of things that are going on right now, a lot of a business that has to be taken care of. That's kind of a general thing that happens every month. But looking at the agenda, there was reports from a lot of different people. Of course, road work is underway in Rowan County. I'm seeing those crews out there and the new sign that helps people kind of realize what's going to be happening in their area. What's the upcoming projects that are going to be happening?
Well, we've been very fortunate to secure some additional funding from the state. We've also, in the county, out of county funds in the road maintenance fund, we've put $500,000 into the resurfacing project ourselves. Of course, we just received $358,000 from the governor in discretionary funds. We got $265,000 in flex funds back in the spring. So you can see we're just a little over $1 million in resurfacing projects will be going on this year. That's not counting the pothole patching and the other things that we'll be doing, bridge crossings and those kind of things with blacktop. So, you know, we're very proud of the fact that, you know, each year we've been able to do just about $1 million worth of resurfacing in the past 2.5 years we've been able to do that. It's not enough. We know it's not enough, and we know that we're not going to get every pothole and every road that's done. And what I tried to explain in fiscal court yesterday, you know, the magistrates, they have to pick the worst roads first. And it's also, they have to consider the amount of travel on that road. So if you live on a road, it may be horrible, but there's only 2 or 3 people on it. And then there's another road somewhere else with 15 or 20 people on it. Then the 15 to 20 is going to get the blacktop. I mean, that's just the way it works. And it's unfortunate. I think maybe, you know, if the legislation has a good session this year and they actually pass an additional funding stream from the fuel into infrastructure projects, roads, bridges, gives that back to the county, I think we can eventually get ahead of this resurfacing, and then maybe everyone will get that blacktop that they also want and deserve. You know, they all pay their taxes, and we want to blacktop. Trust me, as a judge executive, it wouldn't nothing make me any happier, and you've got 4 magistrates that wouldn't make them any happier than just be able to blacktop everything around county, because that generates most of our calls is roads.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of roads.
There's a lot going on, and we, you know, we have a road plan, which, you know, we implemented. It's not been in place before. You know, we actually ditch the road trying to make the, when we do resurface, we want it to last as long as possible. So we ditch it, we brush it, we replace the pipes before and the tile before we actually put the surface on it. So we don't have to put the surface down 2 weeks later and have somebody say, well, that was stupid. Why did you have to dig it? Why did you put the blacktop down and then dig it up and put a pipe in? So we have actually got a plan. We're following that plan, and it's working out very well for us. So that leads to road closures, and that's where the big sign comes in. You know, we do a blanket call to those areas, and it doesn't hit cell phones. A lot of people don't have home phones. So we bought purchased a big sign from State Surplus to be able to advertise on that road the dates and times it'll be closed. So we hope that'll cut down on some confusion, help the residents be able to make those doctor's appointments and work around our schedule. So a lot going on in the county and resurfacing and roads.
Now, emergency medical services, as always, they're very busy making runs with the ambulances. But we found out during the meeting this week that we're seeing a lot of overdose calls. I know that that's been, you know, the opioid epidemic and, you know, the drug epidemic has affected everyone. There's no one who doesn't have that impacting their lives, their family's lives, in some way. But I was really interested to hear that there's some consideration happening to have kind of a new approach when it comes to overdose calls. Tell me a little bit about this Fletcher group that you mentioned during the meeting.
Well, we had a meeting last week with tried to have one with all the stakeholders that has to do with rehabilitation, reentry, all of those kind of things. And the Fletcher Group has been a really good partner of mine from the time I became the judge. And they're really active. They're not really active in Round County because it's not in their territory, if you will. But they can expand into our county. So I had a discussion with them last week, Ms. Lori Bear and Gene Dethridge. And what we're looking for is we have a lot of overdoses are up, you know, the deaths are up, overdoses are up. We're responding to a lot more of those now. And I really don't know if it's because they're getting outside. And I mean, I really don't know what the cause of it is. I haven't talked to anybody that can tell me what the real cause is. Everybody's got their own theory, but nobody really knows why the overdose rate is up. So the Fletcher Group has, we've talked about it, and in some places they have what they call a response team. So if you get a call for an overdose, they will send a team out with the sheriff's department, because anytime we have an overdose, we have to send the sheriff's department along with the emergency management or the EMS people. So they would go along with that, and they have trained counselors. So they could, because a lot of times if they overdose, they Narcan them back, then they refuse treatment, and they refuse. So you just kind of, they blend back into the system. So what we would like for this to do, this response team to do, is to be able to make that the first step and maybe impossible in some kind of interdiction and recovery program. So these folks would be capable and able and qualified to talk to somebody that's overdosed. A lot of part, another part of that piece of the puzzle is that sometimes we, the sheriff's department, goes out on calls that the individual is mentally unstable, and that whether that's either drug induced or just mentally unstable. So they really are not trained counselors. They really don't have the ability. They've got two choices. They either leave them or they have to put them in jail, which, that's not, there's a lot of times there's a lot of in-betweens. But, that's kind of what they're stuck with. So
But
this
leave them or
response team,
jail
if
is
we can
not
get
really
this work.
helpful. Like those two choices are not really
No,
helpful to
it's
the
not.
individual in crisis. So.
It's not. So we're hoping, and this is just a beginning of this, but I think this program, we're going to see it through, and we'll see what positive things come from it, and we'll probably try to implement that in Round County. And that, a lot of that's depending upon.
I feel like there's this is kind of a conversation that's happening nationally, and the citizens of Round County will be excited to see that there's something being done to help these individuals. Going on into the agenda for the week, the Environmental Services, Tyler Brown had a chat. I know the big thing that's impacting everybody, we got Free Disposal Day coming up on Saturday.
We do got free disposal day coming up on Saturday. It's from 8 to noon. So if you're a resident around county, you're certainly welcome to go out and do the dump. I've had some phone calls about vests and hard hats and all that stuff that you have to have when you go out to dump. And I've had complaints that, that if they don't have them, which most people don't carry a hard hat and a vest in the truck or car. But Saturday, there's no other construction or work going on out there. So this particular day, you do not have to wear a hard hat nor a vest. You'll just go out and do the dump. Please tarp your loads and secure it so that half of it don't get misplaced and on the roadways before you get to the dump. I'd certainly encourage you to do that. We've got Tyler briefed. I think we picked up 130 miles of road, and I forget how many bags of trash. But that's an ongoing battle. Chrissy Perkins is out with her million pieces of trash, and she's doing a fantastic job. And the county's right in the game. We pay some people to pick up trash. We also have inmates out working with our maintenance guy, Tracy Hamilton. They pick up trash. West Cold Iron, the jailer, has a crew out picking up trash. So we're all in the trash business, and we're trying to clean it up, make our county as it's a beautiful place, and we want to make sure that people recognize that instead of the trash on the road when they come in to visit.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
If you're downsizing and have a vehicle that doesn't run or is rarely used, donate it to the WMKY Vehicle Donation Program. Receive a tax credit and support WMKY programming at the same time. Donating is easy. Just call 855-WMKY-CAR or visit online at WMKY.org. Your used vehicle will be picked up fast and conveniently. Call anytime at 855-WMKY-CAR or online at WMKY.org.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, I appreciate you spending time with us today. We're talking about the fiscal court meeting that happened earlier this week. A lot of things on the agenda. One of the old business items was a budget amendment that kind of placed the ARPA funds, which is the government gave the county money for coronavirus relief. And so and it seems like, we had the CARES Act, we have these ARPA fund. There's a lot of different pots. They're calling it different things. And so it's kind of confusing. Like, how much money has the county been given in order to mitigate the impact of coronavirus?
Well, initially we were given under the CARES Act, we were allocated $870,000, And that was to help us supplement the additional cost of EMS and sheriff's departments and vaccines and setting up all of the emergency management stuff we needed. And of course, we ran a supply out of the Round County and all those different pieces of the puzzle. That was directly, strictly for COVID-19. Now, the recovery money is a different, it's under a different bill that came from D.C., and it was $61 billion to the counties. So that was divided equally among all of the counties in the United States. So Round County's part of that will be $4.7 million. So we have received the initial portion of that, like $2.3 million. So that's what the budget amendment was. We received that and we have to put that into our budget. Now, what we have to really do is we have to think about how are we going to spend this in the best interest of all of the residents of Round County that will help us into the future. So right now there's a lot of discussion on what you can spend it and what you can't spend it on. So most counties are spending it on nothing at this time because with the final reading has taken place, but no one has really deciphered what the final reading was. And what we have learned is the final reading for that day, but they may change it the next day. So I'm going to a conference at the end of August. They should have all the pieces up and someone in legal and all these other departments will be able to tell the county judge executive and the county treasurer exactly what we're authorized to spend this money on. But right now, if you were going to spend it, you could do it on broadband, water and sewer, and that's about what you could do without going to jail for. So we're just sitting on it now and we're looking, there's probably some more funding coming and we want to make sure that we're not spending this money when additional funds are coming in the future that will be restrictive that we can't use. So we're going to sit on it and try to make the best move for the county.
That's funny to me that they're like, here's this money, but wait, we can't, we're going to tell you how you can spend it, but not yet. You'd think that they would make those decisions before they handed out the money because it's more work to go backwards in the way I'm looking at it, I guess.
Well, it is. And if you spend it for something that is not authorized, then your county is obligated to pay that money back. And, you know, it would be really a huge burden on this county if we took $2.7 million and spend it on something we're not authorized, then we have to come up with $2.7 million to pay it back. And that's just nothing none of us wants to do. So we're going to make sure we get this right. Broadband, I'm telling you, broadband is, we're getting our proposals back on the 2nd of August. I've got a committee together from MSU, MCTC, numerous from the hospital. Those IT folks are getting together with the county's IT individual. They're going to be reviewing all of these. We've also got an advisor that's going to look through them. So we're getting close to finding out what really we're going to be able to do with the fiber to the home. And we're really hopeful that that's going to be something that we can do and use some of this money on that. So it's exciting times really around county as far as broadband. I think it's the best opportunity and I think we're going to be able to see some improvement.
Well, I know that, you know, the pandemic came and it kind of highlighted the disparity of who has access and who doesn't as far as within the community. That was a big part of the conversation, especially with everybody working from home and the kids doing school from home. It was kind of, it made it really apparent really quick that there was a lot of people in our community that didn't have access. But it's not just that. With broadband, you know, having the infrastructure for this type of broadband really means a lot for economic development as well.
It does. Everything right now centers around broadband. And, you know, economic development is certainly a key because that's one of their punch cards that they look at when they come to a county is, do you have the broadband? And it depends on what their business is. That may be a complete turnoff if they don't have it. Call center, for example, would have to have a huge amount of that capability. But just as, you know, the hospital. They do a lot of telehealth. Mm-hmm. Well, they can't really grow their telehealth part of this if we don't have the ability to talk to the person in the head of the holler that can get him on the screen or her on the screen and look at them and be able to diagnose them essentially on a computer. And that's a, you know, that's money saving to the person in the head of that holler. It's giving them an opportunity to have medical care that they would not normally receive. And it's giving St. Clair the ability to reach that person. MSU, they, you know, during COVID, they done a lot of instruction remote. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the internet for it. School system, same thing. But yes, all of the key, it goes back to just livability for and the right thing for the citizens around county, but it does certainly boost economic development without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. And I know that that's something that a lot of different organizations that are receiving CARE funding are talking about right now as far as tech. There's, you know, the school system just last week had a conversation like we want to spend a big chunk of the money upgrading the technology for the full district in order to make sure that we're ready if something like the pandemic happens again.
I think it's we need to make a note that, you know, we're all in this together and everyone's getting money. You know, the hospital will probably get some amount of money and the school center are getting money. And what I mean, when we want to make the right decision that's going to do the right thing for Round County, that's including the school, the hospitals, the economic development, all of this, we're all working together. And I've got a board member, a committee from person from each one of those big organizations that's going to help us. So we're all going to figure out what is really good for Round County. It's not going to be the county saying, okay, this is what you're going to get school. Or this is what you get hospital. We're going to decide that together as a group that what's really going to work for the full, all of the citizens around county. And to be quite honest with you, you know, I keep saying the county, but you know, there's places in the city that there's individuals that can't afford what they have. So a part of this is affordability. So it's not just the county. And of course the city's in the county and we worry about those residents as well, but we also have an individual from the city that's going to be represented on that committee to help us steer us with this stuff.
Well, it will be very interesting to see how everyone in the community decides to spend this stimulus money and this recovery money moving forward. And unfortunately, we're out of time here on Open Mic. I really appreciate you spending time with us. Harry Clark, Judge Executive of Rowan County, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much, Leanne, for having me. And again, folks, get your vaccines. Just do a good gut check. Do what's right for the county and right for your citizens. We appreciate all your patience during this road work. And we're here for you. I'm in the office every day. We have a phone call away or just stop in and see us. And thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.